Danny.
Okay.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. So just by like yes, no, sometimes, thumbs up if you have felt overwhelmed in the past month. Thumbs up, okay? Thumbs up if you've also had the feeling of like, I got this. Like, I could do this in the past month. Okay, awesome. Okay, and hopefully we all have, you know, both times in our life, and the goal today is to have more times when we feel like, I got this. Like, this is awesome. I am awesome. I am appreciated. And just overall, my life is manageable. So hopefully in the next 30 minutes together, we're going to talk about skills and tools and different things that we could do to make our life manageable. Okay, so jumping right in because time is short and lots to say. So we're going to start with the schedule, and I'll show you what mine looked like. I started this 3.5 years ago in 2016, and I'm actually going to put the next slide is what I did in 2016. It was the summer before school was starting, and I was feeling overwhelmed and feeling like, I don't got this. I am drowning. Send a lifeguard. It was like August. I was in Missouri, but I was also starting to teach at Torah D School for Chumash one period a day, and I was also working for Dad OYTP, and on top of that, I have my husband and my kids, and I was just like, myself, you know, like, oh my gosh, help me. So I sat down, and I made a list of all my roles and what success means to me in that area. And then I put the days of the week and saw, can I plug it in to be successful in the roles that I've taken on? And the answer was yes. And once I saw that the answer was yes, I said, okay, so let's do this, okay? I got this. So we're going to go through the schedule. Then we're going to talk just in general about three different things. Time. We're going to talk about how our thoughts affect our emotions, which affect our actions. And lastly, we're going to bring Hashkafa into the picture. And we're going to end with shortcuts and a wrap-up. Okay, so here we go. The schedule. So you make a list, and what I did for each of you, we'll see if there's time at the end, or if you want to write while I'm talking, all good. On the back of your papers, it says roles and success. And you don't do it now, you could, could not, either way, whatever works for you. Okay? You write down the roles you play. So we're ourselves, we have to take care of ourselves, okay? Some of us are a wife, some of us are mothers, some of us have occupations outside the home, some of us are daughters, some of us are granddaughters, and we write down all the roles, friends, neighbor, that we play. And then what success means to us in each of the areas. And for every single person, that's different. If we had more time, which we're not going to get to this, but if you compare it to the person next to you, you'll see it's totally different because we're all so different, and that's a good thing. So we have what success means to each of the areas. You write down the days of the week. You plug it in, see if it's realistic. So that you'll have an opportunity to do hopefully later today or whenever you have.
Thing. Of that.
Which
like
thing?
Plugging in what success means to you into a day.
Yeah. I'll do it on the next slide. I'll plug it. I'll explain it. And then the smaller scale is like this. So the next, you know, let me do the next slide, like Ruby's saying, and then I'll talk about what the smaller scale. So this was my schedule, 2016-2017, the original thing, where I color coded for myself, the different roles I was playing, YGP, 30 school, mommy, me, Missouri, Yoni's my husband's name. I literally didn't change anything. It was a PDF when I found it in my old mail, and I just literally just copied and pasted it into this, and I plugged it in. So now I would never post my current schedule and roles and success because it's highly personal. I've developed this. Now it's not one page. It's like 4 pages because I don't just write mommy. Now what I've done is, because I've been doing it for 3.5 years, is I write each of my kids and what they need from me, right? So, and it sounds overwhelming, and I'm seeing some overwhelmed faces, and that's the opposite of what I want to do today. It's just getting it on paper and like saying for each of my kids or for my husband, it's what does success mean to me in that area? So for example, let's say a teacher. Teacher is the easiest because it's the most defined. For me, a successful teacher in Missouri means I'm coming to class prepared for the lesson. It also means that I'm handing back papers that I collect within a week because that's what I find to be an acceptable amount of time. If it's going to be longer, I tell the students, you're taking a test today, I know that I'm not going to get it back to you in a week. It's going to be a week and a half. And I tell them that, so it's fine. And those are things that, like, what success means. Okay, my husband's going to have his needs. And I could discuss it with him. What does a successful wife look like to you? Let's discuss it. Let's get it on paper. And each of my kids, right? My kids need different things. When I had, all my kids were mostly younger 3.5 years ago, it just meant mommy time. So we were all playing together. Now that I have an older daughter, it means taking her out once a week for 30 minutes and, like, really getting some one-on-one time. So it's going to be different things in the week. Now, if you write down your roles and what success means to you in those areas, and you see there's not enough time in the week, then you have to make, this is what this whole thing's about, readjusting expectations and say, how am I going to make sure that my view of success is able to be done? Because if it's not able to be done in a week physically, then we're setting ourselves up not for success. So then we're going to have to readjust, which is what this whole thing is about, readjusting our expectations. So sometimes, I was talking to Amy Warndyke. I have to give her a shout out because I went over this whole thing with her for an hour and a half last week. And we were talking about, like, if you're in graduate school, then your expectations of yourself as a mother, you're going to lower your expectations. So let's say expectations would be, I'm going to prepare a lunch, a quick, easy lunch, and if my kids do homework 3 out of 5 nights a week, that's going to be success for me because I know I have other things going on. So it's readjusting expectations. Did I answer? So that is the readjusting the expectations, making sure that the schedule fits what the week and the time allows for. Okay. Next. Okay, time. So, I mean, how many of us sit around and be like, I have so much time, I just don't know what to do with all of it, right? None of us, okay? And that's because we're living and we're doing and we're accomplishing. So what I try to do for myself, like, I often find myself saying, like, oh, I don't have time, I don't have time. And then it stresses me out because, like, I need more time, I need more time, I need more time. So what I like to say is, I have time, but I'm choosing not to make this a top priority. And priority means something's coming prior to something else. So, like, for example, one of my kids needs her social security card because I can't find it, and I haven't made the time. I thought I could do it online. Ends up you have to be 18 or older. Side story, okay? But I can't say I don't have time to do it. I'm not making the time to do it. And if I want to make the time to do it, then I'm going to take a day, and I'm going to say today is the day I'm getting her social security card, which means when I'm not at work that day and when we're getting takeout for dinner because I have to spend 8 hours in the social security office, right, I don't feel like, I wish I was at school, I wish I was making dinner, because I couldn't feel content with this is what I'm doing with my time today. And have that menuchas nefesh, I'm not feeling pulled in a lot of different directions. So view time as something that we do have, and we also have the choice as to how we're going to spend it. Okay. Self-talk. This one's really big. So self-talk is basically what I mean by self-talk is this is common in exactly, totally. That is like our lives, right? So self-talk is the way we think, right? How we think is gonna affect how we feel, and how we feel is gonna affect like how we act. So in Masorah, I teach this in the self-development course, and we have a tea party. I don't know what that was. T-E-A. T. Thoughts, emotions, actions. So if we're changing our mindset, if we're working on changing our thoughts, then we'll feel differently and then we'll act differently. Sometimes we just act without realizing that there's an emotion and a thought behind it. So with projections and comparisons and not speaking about stuff, we'll talk about them all together because time is, you know, short. So this story I read in Rebbetzin Machlis's book, which I highly recommend. I actually love the book so much that in my self-development course, I told the girls that if they read the book and write a little bit about it, they'll be exempt from a test. Because I feel like reading this chicken soup, have you read it? I'm going with chicken soup. Okay, awesome. If you haven't read it, highly suggest it. If you read this book, it's just so much. So one story was an interesting story that it resonated with me so much, and everyone's going to have different stories that resonate with them. But the story was about Rebbetzin Machlis, and she had this guest who was acting highly inappropriate, and her kids were like, kick him out of the house, come on, you know, kick him out. And she responded back, if you had the upbringing that they had, how do you know you would act any different? And that story really resonated with me because sometimes we like are constantly thinking about other people and ourselves and all these things, and we forget to realize that everyone is so unique and has their own upbringing and their own life circumstances and their own everything that we can't project onto other people how we would do something differently. Everyone has to like really remind themselves, and this is where self-talk comes in, that like projections and comparisons and things like that, there's really no room for it. So we see ourselves, oh my gosh, if she could handle it, why can't I handle a quarter of what she's doing? It's like, stop. I am a different person than her. And if this is the tools Hashem gave me, then this is what I could do. And that is awesome. And just keep thinking that over and over, and you'll see that it affects your emotions, which will affect your actions. And not speaking about stuff, listen, I was speaking out this last night, is that in Judaism, we have the laws of Shemir Falashim, which are beautiful. Hashem created the world, and he put these in, and it's an amazing thing. And I don't want to call it a double-edged sword, because it's not. It's amazing. Everyone should keep these laws. But the part of it that's like sometimes could be challenging is because we don't speak negatively about other people, about, you know, people close to us, about people not, is that we don't realize that what we're going through is so normal. And in addition to just the Shemir HaLashem piece, we sort of want to like put up like this facade of like, I got this, things are great, and all these things are amazing, and they should be, and they are, but there's also every single person has challenges. And because we're not sitting there like my mother was like airing our dirty laundry, like, you know, keep the dirty laundry hidden in the closet, you know? So because we keep it all like not out in the open, we don't realize how normal we were. I remember recently I was sitting down and one of my kids is going through an academic challenge, and I was taking her for testing, and I made a comment about it. I was with, you know, 5 or 6 friends and made a comment about the testing, and literally everyone at the table was like, oh yeah, I took that kid. And we all started talking about it, and it was a good thing. Like, it was so, I'm like, oh, I'm not the only one doing this? Like, oh. Like, it was so, like, eye-opening to think where most people are going through what we're going through also, or similar, or different, but everyone's going through stuff. And when we look at someone and we only see the image they're, portraying to the world, especially with social media and all those things, it makes us feel inadequate, and we have to stop our thoughts and say, I'm not seeing a full picture. And even if I were seeing a full picture, it doesn't matter, because I'm me with the kohos and the chesronos that Hashem gave me, with the life circumstances that Hashem gave me. So that's that. And then mantras are awesome. I have a few that I like repeat in my head. Like when, you know, things happen, I will think like, I'm doing the best I can. And I think it. And often like that, Hashem knows I'm doing the best I can. And it's such a reassuring feeling. Amy was telling me that her mantra is like, this too shall pass. Sometimes things are just so challenging, just like, this too shall pass. Gamza yavar, this too shall pass. And what else there was another one? Oh, when my kids are doing something they shouldn't do, which all, like, you know, all of our kids do things they shouldn't do, I sometimes think, I was thinking, what could I think? Like, I'm not raising a robot. I'm raising a human being. And I think about this when I'm teaching also. Like, we all make mistakes, and kids make mistakes, and there's different things we work with them. And sometimes a kid will say something, you know, disrespectful, instead of me thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure as a parent, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Stop. I'm raising a human being, and I'm going to work with this child, I'm going to work with this student to teach them how to act properly. It's our job as parents and as educators, most people in this room are parents and or educators, to stop and say, I am raising a human being, and this is normal, and this is great, and I have an opportunity to teach them. And then the last thing of self-talk is letting go of what you can't control. And this we hear often, but again, it's something to really like knock into our heads, is that I have control over what I can do. The outcome is up to Hashem. And I think about this where I'm teaching Sefer Bereishis in Chumash, and we talk about Avraham Avinu and his 10th test, which is like the biggest one, right? It says, and Hashem told him to bring up his son. So he goes to bring up his son, and I'm not going to go into the details of all the details because there are many, and he brings him, and then Hashem, or the Malach, says, stop, stop, stop. And Avraham, you know, doesn't want to stop. He wants to go through. He wants to complete the test. And so he says to the Malach, he's like, could I at least like do something to him? The Pasuk says, don't do anything, like, don't touch him, don't do anything to him. Double, what is it? Because Avraham wants to like at least make a nick in him. And the Malach says, don't do anything. Bring him down. And what I learned from that is that when we have a test in life, we don't really know what passing it looked like. In Avraham Avinu's mind, he had to bring up his son as a karpa, not just bring him up and take him back down. But Hashem, to me, was teaching me a valuable lesson of, we don't know what passing the test looks like. We just have to do the best we can. So we're going to get more into that. Hold on. Sorry, guys. Okay. We're going to get more into that with the second. Where'd it go? Sorry. Okay, here we go. We're going to get more into that. That's where, like, Rebbetzins, mentors, and therapists really come in. Recently, someone asked me to do something, and I thought about my schedule, right? This is where schedules help, because someone asks me to do something, I'll say, can I put this in my schedule for today or for whenever they're asking me to do it? And because I have a clear schedule, I could say yes or no. And I said yes to the person, and I was happy to do it. And then they asked me for an additional thing. And then I stopped myself, and I said, okay, I really don't see how I'm going to work it out, but maybe this is a test. I was teaching about Avraham Avinu. Maybe this is a test. So I went to a mentor of mine and I said, this is the situation. Am I being tested, like push myself? Or am I, or is Hashem saying no, like say no to this part. They'll be fine if you say no and like move on. Don't feel guilty. And the mentor said, no, so you said yes to part of it and say no to the other part and you're fine. So that's what I did. And I felt so good about the yes and I also felt so good about the no. Sometimes we feel bad about the no. So saying yes and no without guilt is really important and it's easier to do when you have this framework. So, and the top one, this is 100% where Hashem wants me right now, is also a mantra and it's something to live by 100% of the time, and I have to hurry up since it's almost 10:30. But quick story. They say even quicker. Basically, at Masora, you're not allowed to park upstairs. But I've been doing it for years and years and years, and nothing ever happened. So I kind of forgot you're not even supposed to. Like, I literally didn't even think I was doing something wrong. Anyway, it's a Friday afternoon, and I leave at 12:50 to go pick up my baby at 1. And I go upstairs with my keys, and I'm clicking my car, because who remembers where they park? Not me. And I'm clicking, clicking, clicking. I even push the panic button. Nothing doing. I'm like, no, they didn't tow my car. They for sure didn't tow my car. And clicking, clicking. And I kind of knew our park, and it wasn't there. I go inside. I'm like, did they tow cars today? He's like, yes, ma'am, they did. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I take my phone, order an Uber. It's Friday afternoon. Of course my phone's on 10%, because why would my phone actually be charged, right? And I jump into the Uber. I go to Avishag. I pick up Tehillah. I order another Uber because he gave me the address of the towing place. I'm literally driving to the middle of South Dallas. This is like 1:10 on a Friday afternoon. Like, And I'm saying to myself, this is not happening. And I'm literally crying. I'm not a crier, but I was like crying. Because like I'm with my baby, with an Uber, going to South Dallas, phone 10%, no clue where I'm going, like, and it's Friday afternoon, and I'm crying, crying. And then I stopped myself and I said, okay, I messed up. I shouldn't have parked upstairs. Totally messed up. But this is where Hashem wants me right now. And I kept repeating, Hashem, you want me here right now. I have no idea why, but you want me here right now. In the back of the Uber, I'm like repeating it over and over. And I got my car, and I had to like remember where the Uber driver went because I did not want to get lost in South Dallas. And I get back to Torah school at exactly 2:30 for Hashem, for carpool. And I went straight home, and we'll talk about my Friday schedule by shortcuts, even though I don't know when because it's already 10:30, but I'm going to rush. Anyway, what I ended up using the story was I was telling the Masora girls on Monday when I speak before davening, I was saying the lesson I learned from the story was we all do things that were wrong. We knew that they were wrong, but we do them so often that we just don't realize anymore. So like talking in class, I've done it since I'm in elementary school. What's the difference now? We don't even realize. And they're like, the amount of girls who came over to me and said like, whoa, that was really cool. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe that's why Hashem wanted me in the Uber on a Friday afternoon paying $200 to get my car, right? All those things, right? So I don't know. Okay, I'm going to skip some stuff. Okay, so now we'll get up to the shortcuts and then we'll wrap up before the other group comes in. Okay, so with shortcuts, everyone has shortcuts. I posted on a few of my WhatsApp chats, family, friends, whatever. Everyone had the best ideas, and I started compiling them, and then people who couldn't make it said, can I have the booklet you're putting together? So I'm going to put I started putting the booklet together, but I want everyone in the room to add to it so you could text me, WhatsApp me, email me, all these things, and we're going to put a booklet of the shortcuts when they post the classes. This was Amy's idea, giving her the credit, and we're going to put it together. So just a few things. Is I have a full Shabbos in my freezer that I've amassed slowly. So like literally, challah, fish, soup, meat, sides, dessert, everything. And then I have a challah, everything in my freezer so that if something comes up, I don't have to panic. So on Friday afternoon, I realized that I had kugels at Masora and I was ready at Torah Diesel. I'm like, oh, I forgot two kugels. So I pulled two out of the freezer. It wasn't a big deal. And then this week, I'll make sure to replace it. So I always have a full Shabbos in the freezer, which is a great shortcut. And also, this is like where everyone's different. I was like nervous I wouldn't have a half hour of stuff to say. Oh, does it go until 40? I was thinking 30. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Hashem. Okay. Oh, good. Phew, I can like slow her down. Okay. So this is where everyone's going to be different and everything everyone's different. And some people will be horrified by some of my examples, and if I horrify you, I am apologizing for you. I'm not apologizing for me, because that's the point. This works for me. So our Shabbos meal, and I'll start with Shabbos because it's so central in our week. Our Shabbos meal, nothing is cooked on Friday. Nothing. You are not getting anything fresh if you eat at our house that was cooked on Friday. So I basically take my menu, and it's, you know, like, I change it up, but it's more or less the same. So on Monday, let's say, okay, this is another thing. This thing, oh, also, we talked about this already, but like, right now, Rhodes Dough Balls, raise your hand, you know about Rhodes Dough Balls, I hope everyone does. Yes, okay, for those of you who don't know what Rhodes Dough Balls are, they're dough balls in the freezer at Walmart, Target, Tom Thumb, anywhere. They come in dough balls. And basically, you take round pans or whatever shape pans you want, it doesn't matter. And that's how I make challah. I was doing it, and someone was like, what is that? I'm like, it's going to be my challah. And then they happened to have been eating at my house. They're like, this is amazing, right? So it's you put the dough balls down, okay, pan, dough balls down. I never use real. It's all in aluminum. Okay, Restaurant Depot, big cases, okay? And it rises. You stick it, you egg it, stick it in the oven. You have delicious challah after. Now, later in my life, you know, when it works for me, I'm excited to be making challah and taking challah, making the bracha. I'm excited. But for right now, I am so confident that Rhodes dough balls is what I should be doing. So that's Rhodes dough balls, okay? So Rhodes dough balls, let's say I do that Monday night. So Monday night, oh, this is another thing. I have one sieve. So I'm very careful that every night of the week, it's either a Felicia kitchen or a Melty kitchen. I don't mix it. It doesn't work for me. Meat, milk, no. So I take the Rhodes dough balls. So now I have Rhodes dough balls Monday night making it for challah. I'll make pizza with the Rhodes dough balls. I'll make calzones with the Rhodes dough balls. I'll make garlic knots. I use the same thing for dinner. So it's like 2-for-1 deal going on. It's for Shabbos. It's for dinner, right? Tuesday night, I'll make kugels. So we'll have like, let's say a stir fry, so I'm making vegetable kugels. And everything I'm making in my week, and I'm happy to put that, my dinner ideas that go with Shabbos in this booklet. Okay, Wednesday night, let's say we'll have deli sandwich, I'll be making deli roll for Shabbos. We'll have chicken, I'll make chicken for Shabbos. So it all, not the same one, because we want it to be special for Shabbos, but you know what I'm saying, it's the same like family of food. And so that is, the dinners get done with the Shabbos food. So on Matzah Shabbos, I sit down and I make a list of what I'm serving every night for dinner and what I'm eating for Shabbos on that night that matches what I'm doing. And that goes with, okay, laundry ideas. This again works for me, and you could all write in what works for you. So for laundry, if it piles up, okay, I meant to bring it. I thought about bringing it, but I didn't want to. My label maker is like my best friend. I don't know if anyone has a label maker, but my husband actually asked my kids, what's the one thing mommy bought that I thought she would never use that she uses so much I can't believe it? And they all knew that it was the label maker. I label in the pantry where things go. I label my kids' things. So Menachem's pajamas, Menachem's pants, Menachem's shoes, not shoes, shirts, whatever it is. Everything's labeled. So when it comes to laundry, I'll have all my clean laundry on the floor. I say, okay, kids, come on in. Everyone take your stuff and put it away. Everyone comes in, they take their stuff, they put it away. Is it folded? I have no idea, because I don't open their drawers, okay? Hope it is, hope it's not. But they're able to find it when they need it. And that is a laundry idea. Okay, hide and go seek. This is for people with little kids that I wish someone would have told me, what, like 10 years ago. Hide and go seek is the best game ever. Because you're playing with your kids, and then you're counting, and they're nowhere to be found. It's like amazing. I'm like, hey kids, I'm counting to 500, go high. You know what you could do in 500 seconds? You could put on makeup, you could chop an onion, all the things you don't want your kids around for. I go think it's literally amazing. Okay, then okay, these are huge. For anyone who has these apps, Walmart pickup, Target pickup, I'll write more about them, a little blurb what they do. Instacart, all these things. Like, I'm in the store and I realize I need something at Target, I'm out of diapers, I'll Target pickup as I'm driving up the store to Tordy School, pull up in Target, they bring it out to my car. It's within 2 hours, but sometimes I call them and say, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes, can you just get it quicker? And they say, sure, no problem. So it's like quick stuff. Okay, fine, so I'm going to post this. So now, okay, we have 5 minutes left to wrap up. So let's wrap this up and review, and hopefully everyone gains from it. Okay, here we go. So, conclusion. Oh, I'm going to post all these ideas with the recordings. Yeah, so I'm going to post it. And there's many, many, many more. So, yeah.
Were you an organized person naturally?
No. Okay, let's go. I'm going to wrap up. I was actually going to share this story. Oh, but feel good. In high school, I was so tzufligen, so all over the place. The principal, okay, you know he is, okay? The principal came to me. He said, I don't know how I'm going to fulfill my mitzvah of hashavas aveid, the returning lost item, anymore because you're graduating. Your stuff is everywhere and always returning it to you. And I literally think, Hashem, that my body parts are attached because I would legitimately lose my head, my arms, I would lose them if they weren't attached. I really honestly think, Hashem, that they're attached to our thing because I'm not. And that's why these lists help me stay organized and stay focused. And I think that spa day, what does it mean going to a spa? Spa day means you want to feel like rejuvenated and amazing and refreshed. and things like that. And I don't know when it was, last week before, I can't keep track. My husband's like, why don't you go to a spa? Like, why don't you go? And I was like, no, if I go to a spa, then okay, it'll feel good for the half hour I'm there, and then I'll be right back to all the busyness. Like, what's the point, right? So with spa day, the spiritual spa day that we're doing, hopefully these, like, the skills and the tips that we're talking about are going to last for longer. So when I was thinking about this topic and I was speaking about it with one of my mentors, she asked me the question. She said, why do we want a manageable life? Like, why do we even want that? Why is it something we attain, like, to aspire to have a manageable life? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, of course you want it. And when we, like, hashed it out, we were saying that really the goal of having a manageable life is to be Eved Hashem. We all want to serve Hashem with the kohos we were given. We all want to serve God with what He gave us. So that's like the ultimate goal. And when we put that as like our goal, it makes everything just more spiritual. And I teach in Misora the levels of pleasure. So there's the first level is physical pleasure, loving connection, like creativity and like self-actualization. The last one, the highest one, is spiritual pleasure. When we connect it back to Hashem, it elevates it for ourselves. So as much as we want to be functioning human beings, and we want our children to be functioning, we want our spouses and our jobs and our coworkers and our neighbors, we really all want it for the same thing. Because we're in this world, you know, Merit Hashem, for 120 years, and we want to make the most of it. And the way to make the most of it is to think things through. So we spoke about the schedules, and I hope, oh my gosh, my hope is that maybe it's overwhelming at the beginning, but my hope was to not overwhelm anyone, to say, if it's all mushed in my brain what my roles are, then it's all mushed in my brain. But if I have it on paper, these are my roles. This is what success means. Oh, wait a second. That's what success means to me? Or is that what it meant to my mother? And now I feel like it's success, but that's not really me. And then I get, like, clear. What are my roles? What is success to me? And not comparing it to my neighbor, and not comparing it to my sister, and not comparing it to my friends. And what does success mean to me? And speak it out with your husband, speak it out with your kids, speak it out to the people in your life. What does success for you feel like? And you'll see, oh, you don't even care that I have, you know, a healthy dinner, you're happy with Wacky Mac, okay. You know, like, it just changes the whole mindset of the schedule. And then we think about time and how we're going to view it, and we make decisions on how, and this, then the self-talk. The self-talk is like, I got this. Hashem, I'm doing this all for you. My whole life, my 120 years that I'm rich, Hashem, you're going to give me, please make me be healthy and help me have energy and help me have the siyata dishmaya and help me have the ability to do what you want me to do, because that's why I'm here. And I want to be an amazing wife, and I want to be an amazing mother, and I want to be an amazing teacher, and I want to be an amazing friend. And I have all these desires. Help me have the energy and the people in my life who are going to guide me to do it. And it's you, Hashem. Like, we're in this together. You put me here, right? We say on a person's birthday, it was the day Hashem decided the world couldn't exist without them. And the fact that we're still in this room means Hashem still feels like the world can't exist without each and every one of us. And we have this amazing opportunity to use the things that Hashem gave us, not gave our neighbor, to use those things. There's a story told about a king who basically wants the people to build a palace. And he gives everyone their name on it with a bag, and he leaves. They're like, wait, what are we supposed to do? And they're all, like, looking at each other confused, and then one person's like, oh, maybe we should look outside inside our toolbox. And one person opens, there's paint. Another person opens up, there's plumbing stuff. And another person opens it up, and there's all these different things. And you say, oh, this is what's in my toolbox, and this is what the king wants me to do to help build his palace. So when we look into ourselves and not outside, not at the other people in our lives or wherever, we look inside and say, what does Hashem want from me? Because that's what's the most important. Then we could say, Hashem, help me get there. And then we should utilize these shortcuts that we're going to put together, and Amir Hashem will feel amazing, truly amazing, and we'll feel that we got this, and we'll all feel very managed by
I'm going to go to the next one. See you in the main room.
Just pause it.